This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I just thought I'd let Marvin Gaye marinate a little bit this morning, and the lyrics of that song will you know, they're apropos. Here we are 50 years later, and the lyrics of that song tell the tale of the woes of our nation. And so, hey, Calvin, it's good to see you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm always doing great, man. You know, when you know, the battle-tested group of people that we have every Wednesday are gathered. So, you know, the campaign for lead-free water takes another kick at the cat. And I want to begin by introducing my good friend, Robert Miranda of Black. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, sir? Robert? Okay. While we're working on Robert, we are joined by Paul Swartz. He's a co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and also Dr. Lambrinetti Du, who is also the co-founder of Lead-Free Water. Good morning to you guys. How are you?
Good morning, good. Earl. So good to be here.
You know, I am so thrilled if I tell you guys how many times I hear people talk about what we are doing here and this opportunity that we are given by Civic Media. And I'm so thankful to Civic Media for giving us this opportunity to pursue something that is as critically important as this. And so here we are. I don't know, Calvin, I don't know, this might be about the fifth or sixth or seventh time that we've had a chance to gather together, but each time I'm more and more thrilled. So let's begin with whether or not people get a letter telling them that they have a lead-free service line, they are at risk of lead-free exposure from lead-bearing premises, lead-bearing premise plumbing is present in almost all U.S. buildings. Let me do it again. Whether or not people get a letter telling them that they have a lead service line, they are at risk of lead in water exposures from lead-bearing premise plumbing. Lead-bearing premise plumbing is present in almost all U.S. buildings. Paul, you want to take that?
Sure, absolutely, Earl. And before I go into that, I just want to say how important this conversation is, because the official narratives are suppressing this information and not making it available. And that violates basic public health ethics and in misinforming people about what's going on. It's a creation of ignorance in our communities.
And I do have to tell you, I got a letter in the mail yesterday telling me whether or not my home had lead pipes running to it. First time. So there's some impact. There's some things going on that weren't going on before, because this is the first time I got a letter from the city of Milwaukee letting me know.
Well, the positive thing, I'll just do a shout out, is that the EPA regulations are requiring water utilities to inform people that they're doing an inventory of the materials for the pipe that comes from the middle of your street to your home. And part of that is making sure that they let people know that they're doing that investigation. And that is a step forward. What they're not doing is telling people that even if you don't know what that material is of the pipe, that pipe, or even if you know that it's not lead or what's called galvanized pipe requiring replacement, that the lead that's in the faucets, in the fixtures, and in the what's called the solder and the flux that put together the pipes, join them together, that can release chronic low levels of lead, and also periodically and erratically very high or acute levels of lead into your through your tap, into the food that you're eating and the water that you're drinking or mixing with formula. And so that's part of the official narrative that is not really coming out regularly and often critically for people to know. That's really, really important so that people don't get put to sleep or have false reassurance that just because they don't have a lead line doesn't mean they're not getting really damaging lead exposure at the tap.
You know, Dr.
Earl,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Doctor.
Yes, Earl, I think it's just so important that you are highlighting that the letter that you received about having a lead lateral, lead service line is really the first time where you've received such communication. And that's very important that you highlighted it. This is the first time we're in the year 2024. And in the United States, people have known about the hazards of these lead pipes, which are made of 100% pure lead, for 50, 80, 100 years. So why is it that you're hearing about this problem just now? And why that is a long and troubling history of a water utility industry and a captured environmental protection agency that have worked really hand in hand in many ways to minimize the communication that is delivered to people, to minimize people's concerns by not necessarily addressing the problem fully, but withholding information so that folks are not aware of the problem and therefore not worried about the problem. The letter that you have just received is really, I think, arguably the direct result of dogged and unrelenting work by activists on the ground and also by very few truth-telling scientists within EPA who have, some of them, sacrificed their careers or put their careers at risk to push for full disclosure about what the problem is and to push for a regulation that finally requires water utilities to replace these toxic lead service lines.
So if you're just joining us, every Wednesday at this time, we're joined by Dr. Lambrini Du and Paul Swartz and my good friend Robert Miranda, co-founders Paul and Dr. Lambrini Du, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And we are addressing what is a crisis in our nation and has been for a long time, and that's people being exposed to lead in the drinking water. There's a question that's posed on the text by Tony. Are you worried the EPA may stop enforcing these regulations in the future? We talked about that before we came on the air. Paul, you want to respond to that?
Sure. I mean, EPA has done, first, the rules for lead and water are very weak and don't lend to easy enforcement, because you can have amazing amounts of lead coming through the tap and still not exceed the what's called the treatment technique of the lead and copper rule and not be in violation of the Safe Drinking Water Act. And so there's have been a history of 30 years of very weak enforcement, but that weak enforcement could get even weaker if the indications by the Trump administration hold true in terms of who they put in at the political leadership of EPA, the guy they're nominating, Congressman Selden from New York, has no experience on basic drinking water or air or water issues. And there's every indication, although we're going to have to wait and see, that they have an anti-regulatory agenda and that they're going to listen to the regulated industry more than people. That being said, under the Biden administration and previous Democratic Party when the Democratic Party had control of the White House, there also wasn't good enforcement. So we're going to have to wait and see. We want to tell the truth. We're not wedded to the Democratic Party. And what we need is public health and following peer-reviewed science to be at the center of policy formulation, implementation, of getting the lead lines out, and enforcement, all of those things. So great question. We need to talk more about that. Thank you.
Our phone lines are open, as always, at 855-752-4842. You know, it is, Doctor, it is pretty telling that this has gone on as long as it has and the impact that this has had on children. We've been talking for a long time about the fact that children are having a difficult time concentrating. Children are having a difficult time learning. And we've been trying to attribute it to all sorts of other things in this society. Never once have I heard it. Well, paint, chips, and those kind of things. But prior to you guys, I had never once heard anybody say or talk about the fact that the water and the lead in the water could be at the heart of some of those things. And so what we want to do is the Environmental Protection Agency requiring lead pipe removal nationwide to be replaced in 10 years. Nationwide, the EPA now is saying they want to have these pipes removed. We're going to talk about that. 9.2 million throughout the nation. Join us. Campaign for Lead-Free Water, up next on The Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself. At the risk of being crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I want to say before I introduce my guest, the election's over. And so, you know, there's so much more going on that we need to focus on and be concerned about. And this is one that all of us should be concerned about. There's no excuse whatsoever that the wealthiest nation on earth continues to have this kind of a problem, and that the citizens of our nation are not even aware of it. And thanks be to, you know, Paul Swartz and Dr. Lambrini-Due and Robert Miranda and others, you know, campaign for lead free water, that they're taking on this fight. And so let me ask you, Doctor, if we can talk about the big cities and the urban centers. And so, you know, that's where we've got the most concentrated people. And so this subject matter can marinate more in big cities, more romanticized. But what about the rural, I mean, the rural areas and people who don't have access to the kind of information that can be disseminated, you know, inside of the cities? What would you say to them and many of them who are listening now?
Yeah, unfortunately, lead in drinking water is a nationwide problem, and it affects small communities and rural areas as much as it affects big cities. This is not necessarily a message that has reached people adequately. And additionally, rural communities and communities that are served by small water utilities have been shown, and studies have shown, that the water utilities in those areas tend to be implementing regulatory standards in a more lax way than many of the larger water utilities in big cities. So rural areas are actually arguably even more vulnerable to the problem of lead in drinking water, and of course to the problem of other drinking water contaminants, precisely because research has shown that water utilities serving them are not doing a very good job overall in implementing regulatory requirements. So that's a problem people do need to know in the entire country, and certainly in rural areas, but all over, that lead-bearing plumbing materials are pretty much in every building right now in the United States. There's very few exceptions to that. So whether people have a lead service line or not, or whether their testing shows lead or not, if people want to be protected from lead in water, it is really wise to begin using lead-certified point-of-use filters. These filters have been shown to effectively remove lead from drinking water almost completely. And so whether one has a lead service line, or whether their water utility implements regulations properly, or whether there's a delay in replacing lines, or whether there's a lead in water crisis, once people install filters and use filters routinely when they draw tap water for cooking or drinking, they have that layer of protection so that they're far less vulnerable to what is going on in their communities. And that certainly applies to urban areas.
So, Paul, Tony wants to know, what about people with wells? Are the pipes used for that lead?
Thank you, Tony, for that question. There are two ways to get exposure from wells. One is that the wellheads often have leaded materials in them, and that can be a source of lead. And as my colleague Yana Lambrini-Due said, when the water comes in contact with the lead in the interior plumbing, or the technical term is the premise plumbing in your home, both dissolved or soluble lead, like sugar in tea or coffee, and chunks of lead or particulate lead or lead particles can fall off fairly randomly into the water. The great thing is we have a solution, and that solution is, if you want to break up with lead at the tap exposure, do what Yana said and get a filter that has NSF standard 53 with a claim of lead reduction and NSF standard 42 on the box. And that can be a countertop model, or it can be a pitcher model, or you can have it right on the faucet, which is probably the best.
You know, if you guys are just joining us, once again, I'm joined by co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Schwartz, and his co-founder, Yana Lambrindi-Du. And so we are constantly talking about what I think is just a, really, it's, I can't even say it's unfortunate, because they've known about this for a long time. And yet so many people are at risk. When we return, we're going to talk about a couple more things. And one of those things is especially important for all of you. You need to proceed, you know, with caution. Don't just think that maybe it's not me, it's not happening in my home. You have to look at it from the perspective of, I have lead in my drinking water, and I've got to do something to eradicate it. On the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I am joined by the co-founders of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Schwartz and Dr. Yana Lambrindi-Du. And so I want to, you know, Tony asked another question, guys, before we move forward. He asked if a Culligan... where is it at? If a Culligan system will do and things like that.
Well, I'll make a short response and then ask Yana to add on. Just you can't go by the brand. Brands have different types of filters with different certifications for what they'll remove. What you really need to do is to look for the dual certification. And just to repeat that one more time ad nauseum, what you're looking for is a pitcher style, faucet mounted style, or countertop style that have the certifications NSF standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF / ANSI or ANSI standard 42. And if those certifications are in the materials for the Culligan pitcher collagen filter that you're talking about, Tony, then that's likely to do the job.
You know, Dr. Yana, is it safe to say, so younger children, newborn children, I don't know if they're tested for lead, if that's something that's done automatically or if early on in their development and growth and times with their pediatricians, if at any point in time they are tested for lead, or should you suggest those things? Is that an automatic thing that's done now? And are young children more susceptible and elderly people than, you know, the middle-aged people to being impacted by lead?
Right. Well, lead is toxic. It's the best known neurotoxicant that has been studied and is in our environment, and it is harmful to people of all ages. But the populations that are the most vulnerable to lead in drinking water are developing fetuses, infants, especially those who are dependent on reconstituted formula, and of course, young children. The guidelines that have been developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and are generally adopted by states across the country focus children's testing at around the age of 1 year old, and then again at the age of 2 years old. And why that is because our national approach to childhood lead poisoning prevention focuses almost exclusively on exposures to lead-based paint, soil, and dust, and therefore focuses almost exclusively on the age where a young human being tends to have a lot of hand-to-mouth activity, right? So touches lead paint chips or is crawling on the floor and then puts hand in mouth and is exposed to lead dust or lead paint. Unfortunately, this testing set of testing recommendations almost ignores lead from drinking water and therefore ignores both pregnant people who might be mostly drinking lead-tainted water and therefore exposing their developing fetus, but also leaves out infants under the age of 12 months. We certainly recommend and encourage people to test, especially when people are pregnant or when infants are younger than 12 months old, and certainly when they are dependent on reconstituted formula. But one thing that's really important to know, and this reinforces why prevention and why filtration is so critically important, is that testing of lead in blood can miss lead in water exposures. And that is because the half-life of lead in blood is about 30 days, about 1 month. So if an infant is exposed to even very high levels of lead in water, and this infant gets their blood test 2 or 3 months or 4 after the exposure, it is possible for that test, and actually likely, not to capture the exposure or not to capture its severity and to communicate a false sense of assurance to the parents.
Let's go to Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Hello, are you there? All right, so let me ask you guys while we... So I've heard people say, if you just keep running your faucet, eventually the lead will work its way through the faucet. I've heard people say if you boil the water. These kind of sound like folklore, but let us know if these things that some people might buy into, if these things help. Paul?
Those are those are two common suggestions on how to reduce or prevent lead exposure at the tap. And they're really important for people to understand. In short order, if you, we have learned that to deal with dirty water, what you do is boil the water. And that certainly works for pathogens and viruses and bacteria to inactivate those. But for when you have a metal in water, if you're talking about a half gallon of water or a cup of water that you're using with your mac and cheese, and you cook or boil it and reduce the water by half, effectively, you've concentrated the metal, you've doubled it, right? And so you can't boil away heavy metals from the water, but it's understandable that people have that impression. In terms of running the water can temporarily get rid of some of the lead, but it also can draw lead. If you have a lead lateral or lead pipe, you can draw more lead into your tap. And you also can take particles of lead or chunks of lead that are stored at the aerator, that little end of the faucet screen. And if you have enough force, you can plop one of those out into your water. And so the key thing is to understand that even if it works temporarily in an hour or in a few hours, or just because some chunk of lead drops off randomly, it doesn't assure that you're not going to have lead in the water that you're using for cooking or drinking.
All right, let's go to Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning. Are you there? Kevin, I don't know. I guess we're having trouble. But I will say to you guys, you know, if you're just joining us once again, on the line, Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Lambrini do, and they are with Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and they're on with us every Wednesday. Calvin, are they ready? You want to put them on? All right. Hello? Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I used to work for a nonprofit out of Madison called Rural Housing, and we put together pamphlets for the DNR to be sent out to all the school districts regarding lead in water in the drinking fountains.
Yes, sir.
And later on, some of the schools actually replaced their water, their bubblers, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
But I listen to your show a lot, Earl, and I appreciate you taking my call. I also work for a nonprofit that got involved in lead abatement in housing. So, you know, lead has always been a problem for young people. And for people that are looking to buy older homes, make sure they have the woodwork tested for lead inside. That's what I have to say, my input.
Well, that's a lot, and thank you very much for the call. You know, Paul, I'm seeing you shaking your head in the affirmative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really important. Lead can be in paint, can be in soil, can be in dust. It can come in ceramics. It can come in spices. There's lots of routes for lead exposure to happen. And you can also have synergistic effects, with, you know, and additive effects from all of these different routes of lead exposure. One of the reasons why we're focused on lead in water is that there's been, as your caller said, so much more information that has gone out about the paint, soil, and dust exposures. And we've had effective bans on lead in paint and lead in gasoline. And in the lead in water space, we had a ban on lead pipes in 1986, but lead continues to be used in interior or premise plumbing. And there's historic levels of lead that are left over from the lead pipes that are in the ground and from the lead solder and flux that join pipes together, or even lead and brass that's in the faucets that we use. So it's really important for when we look at the whole house environment or building environment to look at all of those sources. And unfortunately, often when home inspections are done for lead exposure, they'll stop looking if they find that there's something with lead in paint or soil or dust, and won't look at the water piece. And that's a real problem, because a lot of the health departments are not trained and have heard the bad narratives and the bad advice from EPA and CDC and from the water authorities. And so don't think of lead water as an exposure route or a primary or sole source exposure route for some buildings. And as much as lead, paint, soil, and dust are really, really critical to take a look at, they're in far less buildings than lead and water are.
You know, Tony has just been just really helping us out with some great, great questions. Does the rest of the world, and this is for you, Dr. Yana, does the rest of the world use this much lead? Does China or Europe, European countries, have this issue too? We're going to discuss that and more on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, on Wednesdays, I'm joined by by Paul Schwartz and Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And so before we go to the phone lines, Tony, once again, this is for you, Doctor. Does the rest of the world use this much lead? Does China or European countries have this issue as well?
Yes, it's such a good question. Lead in drinking water is an issue worldwide. The World Health Organization back in the early 1990s, issued guidelines for addressing lead in drinking water. The European Union has guidelines. Lead in drinking water has certainly been detected in China, West Africa, and other places. Exactly what the amounts are, what the concentrations tend to be, and how they compare to the United States, I'm not sure. But certainly, this is an international problem, not just a U.S.-based problem.
All right, let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Al, are you there?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You remember back in the 70s when we had all that flooding in the creeks, they told us to boil the water.
Yes.
But no, there was no mention of lead being removed from the water. I have put a Culligan water system in my home. And I heard a little bit of the explanation the doctor gave earlier about those things need additional filters in order to get the lead out. Is that correct?
You want to respond to that, Paul?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And I think the clarification is really important. So no matter what the brand name is, whether it's Culligan or some other brand name, not all of the filters in one brand have the built-in properties, I guess, to reduce or eliminate lead exposures at the tap. And so what you're looking for, and you can go and look at the model online that you have, and sometimes it's hard to find on the website, frankly, is often it's on the box when you go to the box store or your local retailer to buy it, is you're looking for filters that should have the two certifications, NSF standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF ANSI or ANSI standard 42. These are the two dual certifications that will allow you to have some certainty that you're getting rid of dissolved or soluble lead, which is one type of lead, like sugar in or tea or coffee dissolving, and lead particles or chunks of lead from the water that comes through your tap.
Dr. Lambrini, do two things. One of them is, so I remember many years ago in the city of Milwaukee, the city was giving away filters that you could put on the faucet, in your sink. Are those still, acceptable filters? Do they the job?
Yeah, these are excellent filters to have if they have that dual certification that Paul was talking about, the NSF 42 and NSF 53 certification. So if they are certified to remove lead, these faucet mount filters are excellent for protection.
And then the other thing that I want is I want the listening audience to know and to be prepared as we prepare to do something even bigger and bolder and broader on this subject here at Civic Media. You were telling me earlier all the different entities nationally that are beginning to listen to what it is we're attempting to do. Would you please repeat those things?
I think that there is generally an understanding by the scientific community, certainly by communities on the ground and by even members of the media, that this is an immensely important, serious, and complicated problem with lots of dimensions, scientific, ethical, political, public health, all sorts of dimensions. And so your focus on this issue, Earl, is having many people excited and tuning in and listening now. First time that anybody's looking at this with such depth and seriousness. And thank you.
I thank you guys from the depths of my heart. And we're going to be moving into broader and bigger and better audiences and more information. Thank you, and we'll see you guys
in
a week.
Thanks, Calvin.
All right. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and more on The Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.